Today we have a subject that I know none of us need any help with this. Look at the title. I myself have been a totally patient person my whole life. And there, well, at least I got your attention anyway. My family all passed out, because they know better. What's that? Mental patient. Yeah. I may have been a mental patient all my life. That probably would work. But the Bible does call us to be patient, and it's not easy, is it? And I've also come to realize, I used to, when you go to service, you'd be sitting there, and you ever sit in a service and the service starts going, the pastor's talking, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I wish so-and-so was here. I wish so-and-so was here because they really need this. Now, you've never done that, right? But here's what I've come to realize. God is sovereign, right? And whoever's here is here. And whoever's here is the ones that need to hear it. And that includes me. When I was talking with somebody this week, and I said, it's kind of... I was taught many years ago that when you preach, it's kind of a... It's a backwards task. In other words, you're preaching a perfect word. It's an imperfect person expounding a perfect word to imperfect people. And, so you're never there, whether you're the one on this side of the pulpit or on that side. It's the word is the only thing that's perfect. And sometimes it's harder to preach on things where you have a weakness. And this would be one of those for me. But I suspect it's one of those subjects for all of us, actually. Some of us appear to be more patient than others, but I think there's areas in our lives that we all struggle with being patient. We can be patient in all these areas, but then there's this one thing, and it's like, why doesn't God just take care of this? Or why doesn't this change? Or why can't I conquer that or this? And so we need to just kind of maybe get a little light on what God has to say here. James has been challenging us in this area of time, how much time we have on this earth, our treasure, that's what I talked about last week. And now he addresses the subject of our temper. And in a word, patience. The word patience, or being patient, it really comes from two Greek words. It's a compound word in the Greek, and the first half of that word is about being far, distant, or long. The other half is passion, heat, rage, anger. So it's about being long-tempered, okay? The word really stresses non-retaliation. It is the ability to be calm for a long time without exhibiting frustration. It means to hold one's spirit in check. There's a verse about that in Proverbs. A man who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down. When we fail to be patient, because what happens when we lose patience? We get angry, right? That's usually what happens. We get impatient with a situation or a person or with God or whatever. And then that kind of leads toward frustration and then anger. And if you can't control that, the Bible says you're like a city with a wall broken down. You have no protection. You're going to be open to attack. And when does Satan attack? When you're angry, isn't that when you say the things you wish you hadn't said, when you do the things you wish you hadn't done? I mean, that's when Satan does those things. It's when you're angry. And we're like a wall, we're like a city with a wall broken down when we lose control. Another place in the other places in the Bible, I'll be talking about it later, is about self-control. Same word, patience. Same word. Patience, or to be patient, is a characteristic of God's love, and it's a fruit of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Your Bible may say long-suffering. Same word. Okay. May say self-control. Same word. Kindness, goodness, faith, and then lists some others. As we go through life with its trials and circumstances, James is exhorting us to have patience. Easier said than done, isn't it? You ever have, like, be patient. Someone tell you that, and you're like, you know, that's the last thing you want, is to be patient. So as we look at the passage for today, James calls on us to have patience in three areas, and then he gives us three examples. Let me just read the scripture. Verses 7 through 11 of James chapter 5. Therefore, brothers, and what's interesting in these four verses, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, five verses, he mentions patience six times. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You must also be patient, strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers, do not complain about one another, so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance or patience, and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so that's our passage for today. And so we're going to see these three areas that God has called us to be patient. I think if we're patient in these three areas, I think our life would be a lot calmer, a lot smoother. Okay, we're going to look at the first one. Be patient with yourself. Starts right here, doesn't it? He says, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. See how the farmer waits. He plows. He plants. But now he has to wait. You know, maybe you're not plowing a field or planting a field, but there's something in your life that you're plowing and planting. You know, whatever it might be, something your work, it could be something about yourself, could be something with others, could be a ministry, could be your job, could be education, could be a lot of things. The bottom line is you're putting effort into something, and then you got to wait like the farmer and hope and pray that there's a good crop. And while you're waiting, I mean, I'm just giving you truth here, folks. I know you're not going to want to hear this, but while you're waiting, there will come testings. Testings. Think about the farmer. Okay, he cultivates the field and everything and plants the seed, and then what? You got weeds coming up. Animals want to come in and eat up your crop. Maybe a drought hits. Now you got to get water from somewhere. Or maybe a storm comes, it's too much water. I mean, there's a lot of testings that go into farming. And you know what? There's a lot of testings that go into your life. when you're in the middle of cultivating something. Weeds, animals, drought, storms, etc. But you know what it says? It says that he waits for the precious fruit. There is fruit. There is fruit. If you wait, if you don't panic, if you don't lose it, if you stay with it, there is fruit. Whatever it is that you are pouring your energy into, now it may be something you're just trying to change in yourself. I know myself, you know, there's things I have battled over the years, and it just seems like it's forever, and you never get there. Or it could be something you're working on, or someone you're working with, or some issue that's going on, or whatever. But whatever it is that you're pouring your energy into, be patient. Because if you're doing what is right, fruit will come. Fruit will come. Just remember, the fruit's not on you. God brings the fruit. See, we think we have to accomplish these things ourselves. And we forget that God is the one that brings fruit. You can plant the tree, water the tree, prune the tree, protect the tree, but you really do nothing to make that tree produce fruit. You can do, just like this year, my wife planted a bunch of tomato plants, and hardly anything came out. She did everything that she did last year, and we had a lot of tomatoes, but this year, hardly anything came out. And then you can do the exact same thing next year, and you get a big crop. You see, you can do all the right things, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get the fruit you think you ought to get. Because if God is working patience in you, you may not see fruit for a long time. Something to think about. So be patient with yourself. Okay? Secondly, be patient with God. Be patient with God in verse 8. He says, you must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. You know what the greatest challenge to patience is? Lack of hope. When you start to lose hope that something's going to happen or something's going to change or there's going to be something accomplished, that's when you lose patience with it. Is when you feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. In order to have patience, the heart must be strong. You got to have a strong heart. Be patient, he says. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. We have hope. Listen, your hope is not about what it is, but rather what will be. You know, too many times we're looking at the right now, and we kind of forget about what will be. And our hope is not really in right now. It's in what will be. We may wonder why the Lord delays. I've heard people say that. Well, the Lord sure is taking a long time. Well, no, because we base it on our perspective. You know, the Lord is right on time. Whenever he decides to bring all this to an end, it'll be just right on time. When he decides to bring to an end the thing you're going through, it will be right on time. That's our point of view when we're going, why is it taking so long? Well, because you haven't learned the lesson. Or because God hasn't accomplished what it is that he's trying to accomplish. Sometimes we're the reason it's delayed. If you would learn the lesson, maybe he'll move on. Being patient with God is tough because it's you know what it is? It's acknowledging that it's totally not in your hands. We're waiting on him. Got an interesting thing. There's this preacher back in New England, back in the, I think it was 1800s or 1700s. His name was Phillips Brooks. And this was a man that was known for his calmness, his poise, his patience, if you will. But his friends knew something different. His friends knew that he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. And one day, he was with some friends, and his friends saw him just pacing the floor back and forth, like a, you know, like an animal in a cage, you know, just back and forth. And the friend says, "What's the trouble, Dr. Brooks?" And you know what he said? "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." We are always in a hurry, aren't we? You understand that God's not in a hurry? He's got this thing planned out from Genesis 1:1 to the last word of Revelation. And nothing you do, the fretting you do, the pushing you do, is going to move that timetable up 1 second. And he's got everything in between mapped out, what he wants to accomplish in your life. He wants fruit in your life, folks. Your life, my life. Pretty interesting. Be patient with God. Oh, here's the big one. Here's the deal of the day here. Be patient with others. Oh, I can be patient with myself. I can be patient with God. But oh, you guys? Or me? You going to be patient with me? How about in our marriages? How patient are we with our... Should I say it, Dick, or no? Don't say it. He says, don't say it. Spouse? Oh, no. Husband or wife? What about our children? Patient with our kids? How about our family, other family? Patient with them? How about coworkers? Ooh. Got some reaction on that one. How about just being patient in life? Here's what's interesting about this patience with other things, others thing. Every one of us, every single one of us, wants others to be patient with us. But we don't want to be patient with others. Why can't that guy just get his act together? Well, have you got your act together? Oh, well, I'm a work in progress. Well, aren't they? Right? When we lose patience with others, we have a tendency to become judgmental. I've said it, man, that guy calls himself a Christian. Now, who am I to judge whether that guy's a Christian or not? Seriously. Now, have I said that? Yeah. See what somebody did or said or whatever. Wow, that guy calls himself a Christian, or that gal calls herself a Christian. Now, who am I to judge others? And James reminds us, look, the judge stands at the door. The real judge, the one that really will judge. Because you know what, guys, I hate to let you in on this. It's not going to be you or me. We're not going to be judging. Judge is at the door, and he judges us all. He judges us all. Do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. So that you will not be judged. You know, God's a God of grace. We ought to have a little grace towards others. We are all a work in progress. And what you may have together in your life, maybe someone else doesn't do, but I guarantee you they got something together that you don't. You know, we all got work. We all got work to be done. patient, be patient with God. You know, and I changed this. That's why your thing doesn't quite. It says patience. Originally, I called this message patience, and then I changed it, but I'd already made the outline, and I just figured you'd have to be patient with that. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. Be patient with others. Now he gives us three examples. Because you know what? I think I could probably just, I mean, you know, there may be other things I ought to be patient about, but I think if I could just get these three things down, I'd probably be pretty well off. So James just kind of stops there, and then he says, okay, I'm going to give you three examples. He calls on us to look at the patience of the prophets. Verse 10, he says, brothers, take the prophets. He's saying, look here at the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. And this is really talking about the first point that I made, be patient with yourself. This example really relates to that. We need to be patient with ourselves, just like the prophets were patient with themselves. I want you to think about this. Many of the prophets preached and preached and preached and endured all sorts of things and never saw any fruit. You think about Jeremiah. You study Jeremiah. That guy preached for years. I mean, how would you like, you know, at least I get to preach things that, you know, there's some humor in it. There can be, you know, we can have some fun with it. You know, but his whole message was repent because the Lord's going to wipe you guys out. And they threw him in the prison and they, you know, and his message never changed. And as far as we know, he didn't have a single convert that we know of. It's not recorded. And then when God actually came in there and you know, Nebuchadnezzar came and Jerusalem fell and everybody was either killed or taken captive. And we have the book of Lamentations. And he just lamented over Jerusalem and the children of Israel who would not listen. And judgment came. And he preached and preached and preached. And you don't see any fruit. And then if you want to read in Hebrews, I preached on that last year. Towards the end in chapter 11, it talks about, popped in my head, so I might as well read it. Some were tortured, not accepting release. Others experienced mocking, scourging, bonds, imprisonment. They were stoned, sawed in two, died by the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Now, I don't really want that for any of us. But these were guys. And then it says, all these, in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, all these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised because God provided something better. You know, your reward is not in this life. Now, there are blessings in this life, but the reward is not in this life. It's in the next. And they had their eye on something bigger. So look at the prophets. And when you think you got it tough, just read Hebrews chapter 11 there towards the end. How would you like to be stuck in a hollow tree and then sawed in two? That's what they did with Isaiah. It's tough. Patience of the prophets. Job calls us to look at the patience of Job. And this is speaking of being patient with God, the second point. Be patient with yourself, look at the prophets. You want to be patient with God? Check out Job. Job hoped in God and trusted him. Look at this. All these things happened to Job, right? In one, like in an hour. His cattle and all his sheep and everything were either taken away or killed. His, you know, land was destroyed. His house was destroyed. And then he gets that last message, all your children are killed. And it says, then Job stood up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped, saying, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. Be patient with God. Don't blame him. God, now listen, God does not expect us to be without emotion. Okay, we are created in the image of God. God is an emotional being. He has emotions. We read about it. He's got anger. He's got jealousy. He's holy. He's loving. He's kind. He's gentle. You know, he's got a lot of emotions. And we are created in his image. We have all these emotions within us, the capability to express them. He's not saying, do not have emotion. You know, he knows we are but dust. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of. That should be comforting to you. Listen, no matter what it is you've done wrong, you've made bad choices, said wrong things, he knows what we are made of. He knows what you are made of. He knows what I am made of. And he remembers that we're just human. We're just dust. We're imperfect. We have flaws. We have a sin nature. We get on the wrong side of things. He remembers that. I am so glad he remembers that. He knows we are. He doesn't expect us to just react perfectly every time. He knows better. But God does expect us to recognize that his ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes he's got us in a position we don't even want to be in. But his ways are higher than our... How is this helping me? I have no clue how this is helping my walk. His ways are higher than your ways. He's doing something. Whatever it is you're going through, he's working on you. Remember, there is a bigger picture and there will be an outcome. There will be an outcome. You know, Job saw the Lord when all this got done. And you know, when you read the book of Job, I mean, lost all of his stuff. Then he had his three friends, so-called friends, basically just toasted him for however long they were there. Just blamed him. Come on, go ahead. Admit you're screwed up. Well, you know what? We're all screwed up. Admit that you did something to deserve this. And then the fourth guy came. And he kind of had it more together than the other three, but it still wasn't right. And then finally, God himself came and gave Job a 40-question test. And you would not want to take this test because you read it. You cannot answer a single question. It's 40 questions. Like, one of the questions is the one that just pops in my head. Where does the wind come and where does it go from? You know, where does the wind come from and where does it go? You don't know. Well, it came from the west. And that's about all you can say. And then he talks about all these questions, and all these questions were showing Job, you don't know as much as you think you do. Sometimes we think we got it figured out, see? And God had to show Job that he didn't have it figured out. And you know what, guys, gals? You and me, we don't have it figured out either. And look what Job says. After all these things, Job says this, I had heard rumors about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I take back my words and repent in dust and ashes. You see, when he came out on the other side, he saw God like he'd never seen him before. He said, I'd heard some things about you, but now my eyes have seen. That's fruit, folks. That's an outcome. That's good to see God in a different way, in a way you've never seen him before. That's a good thing. And the best thing is and not only did Job see the Lord as he never saw before, that was one outcome. The other outcome was his end was better than his beginning. So the Lord blessed the last part of Job's life more than the first part. Now, he had it pretty good at the beginning. But in the end, he had more than because he had had and he lost it all, and then in the end, he had more. There's an outcome, folks. Hopefully, you'll see the Lord as you've never seen him before, and hopefully, your end will be better than your beginning. If you go along with God, he is bringing you somewhere. Do you trust him? Do you trust him to bring you to the conclusion, to the destination that he has for you? So we see the patience of the prophets. We're supposed to have the patience of Job. And we need to have the patience of God. He says, look at this. And this is speaking of others. The first one, patience of the prophets, that's about fruit. And, be patient with yourself and the fruit that you have. It's up to God, but you just do what's right. The second one, patience of Job, talking about being patient with God. Job had to be patient and get through what God was allowing in his life so that he could learn something, that's something that would benefit him. But then the third one, having patience of God, that's because we got to deal with others, right? Every one of us deals with others. The last part of verse 11, the first part, he says, see, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. That's the first part. I didn't read it, but that's what I just got done talking about. But this point is the very last part. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Isn't it interesting how people tend to remember the bad things about us? There's that saying at work, you can do 100 good things and then you do one bad thing and it kind of wipes it all out. And that's what you're known for. You're not known for the 100 good things you did, but remember that time you screwed up? Why do you bring that up? What about the 100 times I actually did something, People, I know this never happens when you argue with someone. Do you remember the 50 times they did well, or does your brain immediately go to where they fell short? Of course it does. That's why we're wired that. We're wired that way, folks. But we're supposed to be like what? Jesus. Right? Do you understand that while we tend to remember the good, the bad things, God remembers the good. What does he do with our bad things? The Bible says it's as far as the east is from the west, never meets. Bible in another place talks about God putting the bad things like back here where he can't see them. God is very compassionate. I think he needs to be very compassionate with me. I don't think just being compassionate would have been enough. He needed to be very compassionate. He needs to be very merciful toward me. But what's interesting? Shouldn't we be like that towards others? Shouldn't we not be very compassionate, very merciful toward others? Because they're a work in progress too. Remember the parable Jesus talked about, the guy that owed $1 billion and he couldn't pay it. And the Lord came and said, his Lord came and said, pay me now or I'm going to throw you into prison. And the guy said, be merciful, give me time, I'll pay all. And the Lord forgave his debt. He didn't even have to pay it back. The Lord just says, you know what? It's forgiven. No more debt. And then that guy's like, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you. And he's on his way out. And he runs into a guy that owes him 50 cents. That's the comparison. He owed $1 billion, a sum he could never pay. You know, if you had to pay $1 billion, you could never pay it. And if you, one of you can, you've been holding out. Lynn's going, yep, they've been holding out. But to turn around and then this guy owes you 50 cents and he uses your own words right back at you, give me time, I'll pay it all. Nope, I'm having you tossed in prison. How often do we do that with people? We've been forgiven much. And yet we have like this much tolerance for someone else. This much forgiveness. This much compassion. This much mercy. God gave us this much. And we begrudgingly give them this much. God is very compassionate and merciful toward us, so we should be towards others as well. Patience is not a gift. Don't pray for patience. You know, because it's not a gift. It's not like God's going to go, bip, okay, you're patient. You're a patient person now. That does not happen. If you pray for patience, stuff's going to happen in your life. Because patience is not a gift. You will not see it listed in the spiritual gifts. Look it up. Read it. It's not there. Where it is listed is in with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit. See, fruit is things that have to develop within us. It just doesn't appear. You plant a tomato plant, there's not fruit on it. You got to do all that stuff, right? And then hopefully fruit comes. And then you get to enjoy the fruit. Patience is not a gift. It is a fruit that must develop within us, which means you're going to go through some things to develop patience within you. So while there is no shortcut to developing patience, I'm going to give you 4 do's and 4 don'ts to think about when you find yourself losing your patience. I know none of you will lose your patience again after this, right? Absolutely not. You're losing patience with me right now. Like, get on with it, right? Get on with it. Give me the answers so I can go home and cry. Oh, okay. Isn't patience kind of weird? I mean, it's like you need it, but you really don't want to go through what you got to go through to get it, you know? It's like humility. You know, if you really figure out you're humble, you're probably not at that point. Right? I mean, yeah, I was talking, a friend of mine, he's a preacher, and he was like, you know, I've been working. I think I've come up with the best sermon I've ever had on humility. And I said, are you really proud of it? You know? That just happened like last week. That was funny, you know. Because humility is one of those things, like if you kind of realize you're there, then you just lost all the ground you gained, you know. It's like it's gone, you know. But patience is kind of like that too. There's no shortcut to it. But I'm going to give you some, you know, I want to help. I hope these messages help you. I mean, that's what they're for. You know, we're all in this mess together, you know. And believe me, I'm having a hard time with this message. But praise God, you know, doesn't take a perfect person to preach it. Praise God. Here we go. Do look upward. And I'm relating this to verse 7. Be patient until the Lord's coming. Look up. You know, when you're losing it, just remember God's coming, okay? Big picture, right? This is not forever. Big picture. What you're going through now, one day you won't be going through it. It'll be all good. If you have personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to be all good one day. You need to understand that. So do look upward. Do look inward. Verse 8 says, strengthen your heart, because the Lord's coming is near. Look inward. You know, maybe your heart's a little weak. Maybe you need to strengthen your heart. Get some resolve. Start counting on those promises that God has given in His Word to those that are faithful. Listen, His promises are conditional, folks. Read them. Read them. They're conditional. If you do this, I will do that. If you don't do this, then I will do this. You know, I mean, it's the only thing that's unconditional about God is His love. You need to understand that. His love is unconditional. He loves you no matter what you do, no matter how bad you think you are, God loves you. Unconditionally. You don't do a thing to earn it or deserve it. He loves you, and He proved it with His Son. He loved you so much, He sacrificed His Son for you. If He didn't do another good thing for you in your whole life, His love still stands because of what His Son did on the cross. He loves you unconditionally, but the promises are conditional. So you look inward, and you go, wow, you know, I'm fading. This situation's getting the best of me. I'm losing my patience. So look in His Word and find the verses that pertain to what you're going through. And start claiming some promises. And then you have to follow it up with, you got to do what He said in order to claim the promise. Okay? But you strengthen your heart by digging into those promises and saying, okay, I understand, Lord, this is a process, but Your Word is true. If I endure, there's a blessing at the end. Look inward. Do look backward. He says in verse 10, take the prophets. He's saying, look back. Look back at the prophets. Look back, maybe even in your own life, how God worked in your own life. Look back on how He was faithful to you. Get your focus on that. Do look back when you're being tested. Do look forward. Verse 11. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You have heard of Job's endurance and seen the outcome. Look forward. to the outcome. Realize it's only temporary. It's still only temporary. So this is the four do's. Now I'm going to give you four don'ts. Don't focus on the situation or you may lose your temper. Because you know what happens when you're in the middle of the mess and you start just looking at the mess? You can talk yourself right into losing it. Don't focus on... Now, that doesn't mean you don't take care of things you need to take care of. I mean, obviously, if you're in a situation, you got to deal with it. I get that. But don't just think the situation that you're dealing with is all there is in life for you. It's not. That song, Count Your Many Blessings. Don't focus on the things that's going wrong, that thing that you're in the middle of right now that you don't want to be in the middle of, but you're having to have patience with it because it doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon. So you better, what? Start looking at the stuff that God is blessing you with. And thank Him. Because if you just focus on what you feel is not going well, eventually you'll just lose it. You'll wear down. And you'll lose it. Don't focus on yourself, or you may become depressed or critical. A critical person. You know what a critical person does? They look at the situation, they look at the circumstance, they look at whatever it is they're going through, and they think about how they would handle it. And then they turn around and criticize whatever that's doing it different, or whatever it is that's going on out there. Why do you do it that way? Critical. Oh, you think that was pretty good? Blah, blah, I would have done it. You see, you're focusing on you. Now, do you need to take care of you? Yes. There's balance, though. You don't just become self-absorbed. Because you know what? If I just focused on what's wrong with me, I would become depressed. I mean, really? My son's rolling his eyes. My wife's laughing. My mother-in-law is trying not to laugh. Now she's laughing, too. My granddaughter's boyfriend is like, who is this guy? I'm marrying into this family? Yeah. Maybe? Oh, gee. Deal with him the rest of my life? It's rough preaching when your family's in the room, you know? Sheesh. Because they know you better than anybody. Ho! Woo-wee, yeah, you said it. You said it, brother, preach it. Patience, yeah. Anyway, don't be depressed. Sometimes you just need to laugh at yourself. Amen. Nothing wrong with that, I think back at some of the junk I've done. I'm like, really? You're so stupid. But anyway. If you just sit there and hammer on yourself, you'll just bring yourself down and it becomes like a death spiral. You'll just keep going down till the devil wins. Don't do that. Don't fall into that. What did I do? I kind of talked about this one first, didn't I? I don't know. Don't judge me. Don't focus on someone else or you may become judgmental or critical. That's where I'm at. I don't know where I got critical in there earlier, but anyway. The other one was, don't focus on yourself and become depressed. Then I threw in critical. That wasn't critical. This was. Although you can be critical of yourself, too, and depress yourself. But don't focus on someone else. You'll become judgmental or critical to them. Oh, here comes so-and-so. Oh, man. Man, they never do anything right. Now, what do you be like that for? Don't be like that. It just makes the problem worse. I know none of this stuff has ever affected any of you guys, right? Just me. Okay. Not getting any amens, but I'm getting a lot of looks though. Just keep going. Just move on. You being impatient with me? Yeah, she is. Don't focus on your present or you may miss out on your future. You know, we get all consumed with what's going on in the here and now. Now, again, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We do have to deal with situations that are going on in our life, okay? We do. I'm not saying ignore them. I'm not saying, like, pretend like they're not going on. I'm saying don't focus on them. Deal with them. Handle them. But don't get so consumed with the present that you forget about the future. That there's stuff God has for you in the future. And it may be different than what you're going through right now. You may not even be where you're at right now. You know, make totally a different place, either physically or spiritually or emotionally, whatever it is you're dealing with. Don't focus on your present and blot out everything. You might miss out on the glorious things that God has for you in the future if you just go along with His program. Just go along with what He's doing in your life. Now, I have one more do for you that's not on your thing because I got this. See, all you people thought you were done, didn't you? You have to bring them back out. God gave me this about 6 o'clock this morning, so there it is. Do focus on God. Do focus on God. And then I'm going to read a passage. We'll wrap it up. In 2 Peter chapter 1, God gave me this morning, and I thought, man, I wish I'd have had that earlier in the week, but I guess He had His reasons, right? He says, in verse 2, he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life. Everything, folks. Everything. And it's not some trick word. It means everything. Everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Look, the only reason you're a child of God is He called you. You had nothing to do with it. You need to get that. He called you. And He says, by these, His glory and goodness, by these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature. You know, what we're talking about here is part of the divine nature. Being patient and all those things that go with it. Aren't you glad God's patient? Amen. Yowza, huh? Because if He wasn't, none of us would probably be here. First time you messed up, out of here. Right? How many times do we treat people like that, though? They mess up and out of here. Get out of my life. I don't want to deal with you. How many times do we do that? Boy, aren't you glad God didn't do that with you? Maybe we shouldn't do that with others. Just a thought that popped in. So that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. And here's where the list goes. Supplement your faith with goodness, and then goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with patience, self-control, but it's the word for patience. And then patience with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection. Notice, you know, there's a road going here. It's a path. It's like you get this down, and then guess what? You know what? I'm going to get knowledge, and with knowledge I'll have patience. With patience I'll have self-control. With self-control I will endure some things. And with endurance, man, I'm going to look godly. And then with godliness I'm going to have brotherly affection. You mean I'm actually going to care for you guys? Laugh, it's a joke, okay? You guys are all wrapped up. Brotherly affection, and then the brotherly affection turns into love. You really care. And he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, okay, which implies the fact that we all can grow in all these areas, okay, which we all can, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man. Do focus on God. Oh, I had that on there. Forgot. You may not... It's 1 Peter, by the way, chapter 1. I read more than what I had on there. I read like 2 through 8. Okay. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 8 is what that was. 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 2 through 8. There we go. You lost your patience on that. Yeah, I was losing patience with myself as well. So I had to focus on God for a minute there. Okay. Or at least focus on His Word. You may not be able to master all of these ideas right now. I mean, just hit you with a ton, right? Well, just take one. Take an area that you're dealing with. Okay? Made a little joke there. You may not be able to master all these ideas right now, but have patience with yourself, with God, with others, and with perseverance and God's Spirit working within you, one day others may actually describe you as a person who is patient. But notice, it's others will describe you. It's kind of like humility. If you say you're patient, you probably aren't. You know, if you say you're humble, you're probably not. But other people will come by you, and then they'll tell other people. They won't tell you, "Wow, that's the most humble person I've ever met," or that person, you know, is really humble. They'll say that to others about someone else. And it's the same with patience. Patience reveals itself just like humility does, or pride does. It reveals itself in us. Well, think of that. Someone could call me patient. Haven't heard it yet, but maybe one day. You know, just a lot of stuff, but there may be someone in the room today that does not know. You know, they don't, you may be sitting here and you do not know. You're hearing me talk about all these things, and I'm talking about the power within you and all these things, and you may not have that power within you because you have never come to the Lord and asked Him to forgive you. You have never admitted to Him that you're a sinner, that you need Jesus. This is one area, if you are sitting here and you've never done this, do not be patient. Because you do not know if you have tomorrow. You need Jesus now. Right now. We need to be a patient. We need to be patience, or be patient with a lot of things, but not this. Because you are not guaranteed another breath. That's why the Bible says, he who has breath, praise the Lord. Because you, there might come a day you don't take another breath, and you don't know when that day is. But if you're a person that you have never established a relationship with the living God of the universe, don't be patient. You take care of it right now. You come and see me. I will show you what the Bible has to say about that. And you can take care of that right now. For the rest of us, how's your patience? Are you patient with yourself? Are you patient with God? Are you patient with others? Do you focus on the situation? Or are you focusing on God? Do you need to look another way? Do you need to focus somewhere else? Which way are you looking? God's probably already pricked your mind, brought an area to your mind that he's saying you need to deal with this, you need to change this, you need to act on this, you need to do, you know, whatever it is he's telling you. He doesn't do that for no reason, guys. He does that because he wants to work in your life. Will you let him do that? You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you an opportunity. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never admitted to him that I'm a sinner and I need help. I need salvation. Is there anybody like that? I've never done that, and I recognize my need to do it right now. Anybody like that? I've recognized my need. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I've been focusing on the wrong thing, and God has brought that to my attention. Anybody like that? Been focusing on the wrong things. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I need to start focusing on God more, on the situation in my life, whatever that may be. God bless you. God bless you. Lord God, I pray for these that raise their hand. I pray, Lord, they will act upon what you have laid on their heart. I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in their life, Lord. Help them to see what it is you are doing and to act upon it, not out of a sense of hopelessness, Lord, but out of a sense of hope, and that you are doing something and you have fruit in their future, Lord. I pray that they would recognize that and act upon what you have brought to their mind, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. You deal with God. God has dealt with you. Now you deal with him. Father, Lord God, we come before you ever mindful of the patience you have had with us. Lord God, help us, Lord, to see things the way you see them, Lord, to ponder the circumstances that we're in, or the issues that we're dealing with, or the people we're dealing with, or whatever it is, Lord, that is affecting us right now, that we're becoming impatient with. Lord God, I pray that you would help us see these situations in a new light, in a new way, with a new focus, with a new hope, Lord, that we would be pleasing to you in these areas, Lord, that we would be growing and increasing in these areas, Lord, that there would be fruit, precious fruit that you want to bring through our lives, Lord. Let it be so, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.